Hey y'all, welcome back to Latinas Watching Bravo. Just a heads up, what you're about to listen to is an edited clip taken from the full, complete, original conversation. If you want to listen to the full episode in its entirety, just go to the homepage and then select the one listed in all episodes. Okay, thanks. Please enjoy.
Yeah, I think she's trying to not be polarizing.
Right.
I think that she doesn't want to make it, a her versus Luann thing.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want, team Ebony t-shirts. She doesn't want to make it about that because I think that she feels it's kind of not a productive path. I don't think she feels it's productive. But I agree with you. I have an opinion.
That's what I said. I'm like, Ebony's a better one than I am.
Yeah. And I think it's part of it. Like, I think that unfortunately, as people of color and her being in the public eye, mm-hmm. I think that she doesn't want it to be that way so that all sides are still heard, so that this conversation isn't, oh, you always make it about race.
Mm-hmm.
She knows how that's received. And I think that the part of the whole white fragility thing is that people are like, oh, why are you so partisan? Why are you so polarizing? And I think that's for them because they're in the public eye and they're trying to be, neutral or
right.
something or other
right.
so that people still listen and it's not a closed off conversation, because I think that's the problem, that people who are bigoted have kind of want to close the conversation and be closed-minded. So I think that's what she's trying to do, but we have opinions and it's gonna
right.
stay that way. I think she doesn't want to have an opinion or want us to have an opinion so that it doesn't cause all this back and forth on social media and this controversy, because I think that the real message gets lost when that happens.
Right. Right.
And that's what she's afraid of.
Right.
But I think that, like I said, I'm gonna have an opinion,
right?
No matter
absolutely.
What.
That's what I said.
Very passionate about it. So, what I'll say to that is, I will try to not be polarizing on social media, but I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say.
Right. Exactly. That's what I said. She's a better one than I am, and I'm not on a reality show. I have an opinion.
Exactly. I don't have to represent my entire people
right.
on a show. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Yeah. And that's actually, one of the hard lines as our little channel gets bigger. I have found myself censoring a lot more. Like, I get nervous now. Like, in the beginning when it was just like 50 of us and it was just like all Latinas, oh my God, I was just like saying exactly whatever I felt, whatever, because I'm so censored in real life. And so, but now that it's grown, I do worry a lot. Like, oh my God, did I cuss too much? Did I, like, all of a sudden my own channel, my own gaze has shifted into what I'm going to be perceived at, because now we're representing so many more voices. And like, am I giving a bad name? Am I, like, all the same shit I worry about at work? Did I curse too much? Did I not, did I dumb it down and now I sound stupid? And like, oh my God, especially when I make typos, I'm like, oh my God, people are going to think I don't know how to spell two. I meant T-O-O. Like, oh my God, I just, it's become so stressful. And it's completely put me on this weird edge of not being me sometimes, which kind of leads me into Beverly Hills. So like, one of the things that really pissed me off about Sutton's White Tears are just like, why POC have to be censored all the time? Like, why can't we just fucking freely express whatever the fuck we want to feel? Because people like Leah get to do that all the time. What are your thoughts on Beverly Hills?
Yeah, the white fragility of it all. Wow, Sutton. And then she immediately wanted to look to Erica as an ally.
Like, Erica was like, oh, no, ma'am, I want none of this.
Erica was not having it. And I think, regardless of the other stuff that Erica's
right.
going through, and I think she gets it. I think she does.
I
think that if Erica were confronted about you know, her music, or, you know, I think her How Many Fucks music video, the one with all the money in the air, that has kind of like a hip hop vibe to it. I think that she'd be like, yes, I'm here today because of, you know,
I think so
the people
too.
Who came. I think she would recognize that. I don't think she's dumb at all. So I think that, you know, Sutton was trying to, that's another thing. Sutton was trying to equate traveling and being worldly and cultured to, oh, I can't possibly be racist because of that. And it's right. Like, no, you know, just because, I mean, if she were to say something like, I've had dinner with the prime minister of, I don't know, whatever African country, insert here, I mm-hmm. think that'd be a terrible look for her. I hope she doesn't try to say something because that's just a world cultured class version of, I have Black friends.
Right.
I have two Black friends.
And isn't it crazy how she was so triggered by someone else telling their story? That was what was so shocking to me. Knowing, and here's what I said in the Beverly Hills podcast, maybe it's my naivety, but I assumed proximity to Garcelle, that someone that was that tight with Garcelle and has had girl conversation and has had those, you know, late night, we're drinking, we're having real talk. Someone that is that tight with Garcelle could not possibly be this same woman on my TV. And lo and behold, I don't know shit. I was wrong. What are your opinions about that? Like her proximity to Garcelle, and then boom, she's triggered by someone telling a story. Now it makes me question what the hell they talk about.
Yeah. Now I question whether they have a surface friendship.
Right.
Because if she's heard Garcelle's experiences right. and her feelings, and there's the added layer of Garcelle not just being a Black woman, but, and, you know, coming from Haiti. So there's
right.
the immigrant aspect of it. If she's heard those, she could not possibly be so triggered by Crystal wasn't even saying anything that serious.
Like, we never got to hear what she said. She let her say one sentence.
And then she's like, no. No,
we're not going there. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that was so jarring to me,
right?
For that to happen so quickly.
Right. I have watched that over and over, and I'm like, no one even buzzed you. No one's like, literally what has killed me is that Crystal had to turn her head because she had no idea who was talking. Like it's insane to me how triggered Sutton got just sitting there. And then all she said was, I know, as a non-white woman, my experiences with racism. No, what we're not going to, like, what the fuck? That was the most caring Karen moment I've seen in a minute since, like, well, since the night before. Since Roni.
Exactly. And then I'm questioning. And then I'm questioning when Crystal's like, are you that girl? You don't see color.
Right.
And for Sutton to reaffirm that. And I'm like, wait, when was this filmed? Because I think we just spent an entire summer talking about how I don't see color isn't the correct way to approach this.
Right.
So are you listening, Sutton? Are you learning? Are you like abreast of the situation? It feels not. And I'm concerned. I'm like, well, what's in Sutton's background, especially coming from the South, that she's mm-hmm. so triggered by even the idea of racism?
You know, and Florida, it still counts. I say it still counts as the South. You know, do you all count yourselves as the South, or is it separate?
So the way we feel in Florida is anything south of Orlando is... Mm-hmm. is a whole different ballgame than anything right. North of Orlando is the South.
Yes, I would agree with that. Uh-huh.
That's how we feel.
I stay out of those areas. Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, and I went to college in North Florida. Mm-hmm. And that was, so that's was like kind of eye-opening for me because so being in South Florida, especially Miami,
right.
where it's so like Latino insular and
right.
I feel great and fine. It's like, oh, my parents have accents, but I don't. I've been here since I was three. When I moved to North Florida for college, immediately white people and, you know, even Black people who aren't from South Florida would be like, where's your accent from? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have an accent. And I kind of start like checking. I'm like, what do you mean that I have an accent? So I'm like trying to enunciate things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, what? I was like, so I think to people from North Florida, I sound like my parents, which I think, you know, my parents have accents. Mm-hmm. And I never felt that I had an accent. And I was like, no, sweetie, what you're hearing is what we call the Miami accent, which mm-hmm. is just that we have a little twang because all of us speak Spanish in a separate part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of a culture shock to me. And yeah, North Florida is definitely the South. While South Florida, you know, has, I mean, as you can see by just the election map,
right?
That like these, and it's not even like Southwest Florida, just like Southeast Florida, that it's like that little kind of blue enclave.
Yeah. What is it? Broward County?
Yeah. So it's like mm-hmm. Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade County is like that little blue section. And then the rest of Florida is just raging red.
Right. But going mm-hmm. back to Sutton, I want your opinions. What did you think about this Beverly Hills episode, how it opens up in the middle of the fight and her just crying the whole time and her turning around and telling us, y'all, this is real. This really affects me.
Oh, yeah. She's so affected by like redneck stereotypes.
Even though Dallas just had a whole redneck relay race.
Yeah, I kind of want, I mean, maybe that's something Andy should bring up in the reunion as well. Like, you're offended by redneck stereotypes, but some other white people lean into them. Opinions, mm-hmm. like, talk about that something.
And what did you think about, we discussed this with the other Latina, but she's from California. So she gave a great answer. I said, how do you feel about white people in the South? And she said, there are blue states and there are red states. And I said, okay, good answer. But for me from Texas, and that's why I was asking you, you know, what's considered the South of Florida. I feel, I don't know about the redneck stereotype, but what I do know is that I do fear for my life traveling through Georgia, Mississippi, you know, as a Mexican, as a noticeably non-white woman. I don't necessarily feel safe. I feel safe in Miami-Dade, in like Brickell area, like any blue part of Miami, I'm good. And then outside of that, I'm just going to fly over the rest of it.
Yep, what do you feel? Absolutely. Absolutely. One time in middle school, I was, my mom's friends invited us, and they're white Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
They are very fair skinned, so they could absolutely pass as white.
Mm-hmm.
They had a cabin in North Carolina, further passing their whiteness. And they invited us for spring break to their cabin in North Carolina. So we were going to drive up with them. And me and my mom, we drove up with them. We stopped somewhere in rural.
My heart's racing for you already.
South Carolina. Like, nothing bad happened, but it was definitely, it's the first time I ever felt like having left. That was like maybe the first time I left South Florida.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever was aware that I was not, like, that people saw me as different.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in a Latino community, I never felt different. Like,
right.
We had like one white kid in my class in middle school. And we're like, oh, he's the white kid. He's Jewish too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was just random. And I went to a Catholic school. Uh-huh. So, we stopped at like a convenience store. It was like getting gas and snacks. And it's one of those convenience stores where you open the door and like the bell rings. So me and my mom walked in behind her white friends, and I've never felt stared at before.
Right.
And I was like, how long are we going to be here? Like this, right. Like this is quickly, quickly escalating into that horror movie Wrong Turn. I was like, The Hills Have Eyes. I was like, I don't know. It's like, I don't feel safe. Like, they were legit staring, and like I would look back and they're still staring. It's not like they look away when you look
right
back at them.
It's just like a straight stare as you're walking through. Yeah, I know,
absolutely. And I was like, let's get out of here.
I want to live.
Yeah, so that was very strange. And then when we got to North Carolina, the couple times that we went to the local Walmart, I was just like, I don't know what would happen if we weren't with my mom's white, white friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, because I've never felt so out of place in my life.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people don't get, that this is a shared experience with people, like, not like a lot of us communities that are not white, including, like, you know, anyone who's noticeably other. This is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and just crazy for Sutton to be the one crying in this. I can't.
Correct. And I'm okay. And it's like, Sutton, yes, I'm sure. Right. It's unfair for you to get the assumption that you're racist because you're a white Southerner. But it's also unfair for, obviously, someone who's Mexican to get the assumption that they may be illegal, that they may right. be in some kind of migrant,
in the cartel or something, or
exactly, or a yeah. drug dealer. Yes, that's the problem with stereotypes. They're unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of what it is. And, you know, she should be like standing behind the fact that she is, you know, as elevated, is not like that. She has friends of all walks of life. Sure, that's fine. So, I mean, to get that crazy offended, but I mean, has that stereotype ever prevented you from doing anything that you wanted to do?
That's exactly what I said. At the end of the day, it doesn't stop her from obtaining wealth in this country. It doesn't stop her from walking into a Walmart, or not that she would, but a store. It doesn't stop her from taking a certain road, you know, while she's driving. It doesn't stop her. All the bullshit that we have to change on a daily, you know.
Right.
And I have to always think about that shit. Like, oh, I'll go into a parking lot and I'm like, oh, there's too many white people here, and I will fucking leave, because I want to have a peaceful shopping trip. Correct. I don't want people staring at me and talking shit. I want to look at something for 1,000 years at a Target just because I want to. And I don't want people looking at me or making comments or me having to be on guard, someone saying something or someone walking in with a build that wall bullshit. And I want to have peace. So yes, if I see a sea, an ocean of white people, I'm going to find another store. She will never know what the fuck that feels like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and on top of that, the only people who ever might make that assumption about Sutton is people who she'll probably consider beneath her. Like, her own, you know, white compadres aren't gonna assume that she's a redneck from the right. South. Like what, like, I don't know if, you know, WASPs from, you know, New England feel that way towards her, because the minute they see her walking in wearing Dolce & Gabbana, that stereotype is dispelled for them, right?
Right. Like, she's a wealthy white woman. She's fine.
Like, she's not walking in with cut off jean shorts and right. buck teeth. Like,
right.
You know, and she's not from like West Virginia, where, you know, it's like the stereotype is like the hillbilly meth head right. thing. Right. Like, you're from Augusta, Georgia, and you're walking in presenting yourself in a nice, you know, clean, wealthy manner. So
you're friends with Dolce & Gabbana. Like, you're fine.
Literally. You're literally, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. Cause I believe they have a racist history. Like I said,
oh yeah. I think someone said that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I said, that there's that whole like enclave of Eastern Europeanness that doesn't feel that blackface is racist. And I think that the Dolce & Gabbana had a scandal about blackface at a party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that part I didn't hear. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, we were saying on the Beverly Hills one, what the hell happened in her past before shooting that she has been called out on this, you know, that she, and now she's triggered.
Right. Had she not felt that way, I would have, now I'm thinking, oh girl, did your ancestors own slaves? I mean, it's just like a high yeah. likelihood, because right. you're a white woman from the South. So, and I think that, again, with like Luann, I think that's like a preemptive, like, they know something from their past isn't a good look, and they're like being defensive first. And I think that's actually backfiring, because it's just leading me to want to investigate you and be
exactly
like, what's in your
what's
past
going on. Yeah,
it's like, why are you so scared?
And the thing is that she, if she could have just listened, no one even said racist to her. Crystal said, I've experienced racism. No one said Sutton is a racist before she chimed in. Like, I don't even know where that fucking came from. And the thing is, why take it out on POC? This is a problem and you don't want to be associated with that. You know who you need to talk to? Those people. You know,
right, you need to talk to
your own people. Yeah, they're not inviting me to the dinner table to have these conversations. They're inviting you. Dismantle that. Don't interrupt the non-white woman over here telling her own life story. Just can't with her. It was a fucking hell of a week, man.
Yeah, no,
Bravo Housewives. Sure. These Bravo Housewives. And the thing is, I want to quit, but I also want to show solidarity and support. And even in the fan accounts, there's not a lot of POC accounts. There's very few of us, and so you kind of now don't want to leave right when they hire the POC housewives, but fuck, they make it hard, man.
Yeah. And moreover, in that whole Bravo fan account thing, like, there's this whole thing where no one is safe, because look at Bravo historian, like, Kelly Dodd literally tried to ruin her life.
I don't know the story. This was before I was on. What happened?
Oh my gosh, yes. So Bravo historian, this poor, beautiful little white,
I love her channel, yeah,
from Michigan. Kelly Dodd, I guess it was when Orange County was airing, and, you know, she obviously said Kelly Dodd is trash and, like, you know, threw it, yeah, all out there.
She is.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Kelly Dodd had posted some pictures out with her friends, and someone threw up the okay sign, which is also like the white power, mm-hmm, sign, and Bravo historian pointed that out, and Kelly Dodd went nuts. She tried to dox her, and she even, like, doxed the wrong person. Like, she screenshotted a LinkedIn of a person with the same name as her who worked for, like, Deloitte, which is obviously a government contractor. Yeah. So that's, like, mm-hmm, huge. And then, like, it wasn't even actually her. It was, she's like, that's not who I work for. But, like, yeah, Kelly Dodd went in on her. And so Bravo historian had to leave Instagram for a while. And I was like, oh my God, this poor girl. Kelly Dodd is insane. And I feel like Kelly Dodd should be fired just for that, just for doing that.
So that was the same as, like, the Westcott's, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Yeah. She tagged Deloitte and everything, thinking this was, like, the same girl. And Kelly Dodd was like, we're not white supremacists and all of this. She went crazy. And I was like, please tell me Bravo fined her for that, because I know Kelly Dodd gets fined all the time for talking
good, at least
bad about, it's like, fine. I think that's in their contract now. They can't, like, talk that terribly about other housewives in the press anymore. And they can't, like, when they're not allowed to talk about the season, like, they get fined for that too.
I didn't know that about Bravo historian, and I love her channel.
Yes. Kelly Dodd tried to take her down. It was devastating. So that's really, that in itself is really scary, because on top of that, all these Bravo fan accounts have to stay kind of anonymous, because you don't know what's going to happen. So I obviously I follow you, and I think Bravo historian might've brought me to you, because she's also very, like, I think Bravo OMG, and then Bravo While Black. She brought my attention to all these accounts. I was like, oh yes, follow. So I think it's hard, because you want to be representative, but you also need to stay anonymous, because not just the trolls are crazy, but if a housewife can go after you, I mean, you're done.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when I first came on here, it's because I was taking a break from politics. You know, I had worked for a national Latino organization for about 4 or 5 years, and then when Donald Trump announced his bullshit candidacy, I knew I had to, like, get into politics to help our community. So I resigned, and then I went into politics, and I've stayed there working in politics. And then I came home to Texas to work in Democratic politics, supporting Latino candidates as well, or if there's not a Latino, then any POC candidate. And once, when I was in DC, when I was working in DC, they hacked into our accounts and they equally hacked all of our information, right? But because I was the only Latina working in that department, they put my address public. And because my records hadn't been updated in HR yet, what they hacked was my Texas address, my mom's address, because that was the address I used when I was moving between Dallas and DC. Used my permanent address for shipping, which was my mother's address in El Paso. Because I, you know, I had let go of my lease in Dallas, so I didn't have really a Dallas address. I was in between moving. So then they hacked my mom's address and they put it on Twitter. And now I had all, and they took my picture from Facebook. Like in a matter of minutes, they found me on social media and they put my face, my picture, and my family's pictures were there. I hadn't realized like old pictures that I had never like switched over the privacy setting because they were like old. And so like they hacked into my stuff. They found like my birth records from El Paso because they were trying to like get me deported. But they, you know, they literally in the comments of the docs, and then you're reading this as it's happening, talking about you, and one of them was like, oh, we can't deport her, this wetback was born here, here's her birth record. Like they found my records from, because it's public. And dude, I look, I'm a ballsy bitch, I'm not afraid of anyone, but I was terrified for the first time in my life because this was going on faster than I could even follow it. It's all happening online and it's my family. My family's in danger. Like come at me all day, but like my family, my mother, my niece, my sister, my extended family, like instantly we had to then call our CEO. It was like the middle of the night when all this was happening. They had to call the FBI. They had to call our local law enforcement here. And then they were just sending massive threats via mail, via email. And I'm so grateful that like none of these fucking loonies came to my mother's house because that's what we all thought was going to happen. So I couldn't even sleep in DC. I was like, I was calling and texting. And the minute some pobre mi madre, que if she was at the grocery store and she didn't answer, I was like hyperventilating, you know, I was like, oh my God, you know, it was the worst mental terror I've ever felt. So after Biden and Harris were safely in the fucking White House, because then there's like the insurrection in the White House, the housewives that are attached to all that shit too, right? Shit, that's a whole other conversation that I could gladly talk about for days. But afterwards I was having like a mental breakdown and I was like, I need to just like veg out and detox. So I get into the world of housewives for a while since I had missed
Think you're safe.
Yes. Y acá toda pendeja. I'm like, oh, let me decompress. Y nada. Now that I'm more pissed off again, cause I happened to tune in right in the middle of Southern Charm. And I was like, oh my God. So me wanting to like take sabbatical and not be political, plot twist, didn't turn out that way. And instead I like launched a channel and I'm like, fuck this shit. And then I try to keep it down on the politics. You know, I think I'm a good level 3 because in real life I'm a level 10, but it crosses over. The political is personal, you know, and it was just crazy to see so many holes and everything and just them get away with so much and how that then influences our real life as we see in Atlanta. Like, I really wish we could have seen more of the work that the women were doing when Georgia Black Women Saved America, Georgia Saved America, Stacey Abrams, who was robbed of the governor's race, ended up launching this whole movement to fight voter suppression. And there's a whole documentary on it. And she is who we can give all the applause to for delivering Georgia. It's just, and so to know that the housewives were such a big part of that. And then we saw like one episode, I mean, like one episode of that. And the whole time was a disservice, you know, like those are the things we need to see since we're all tuning in and watching, because it does affect your daily life and those things add up. The other day I was telling a story about how Deandra's uncle, who's the one that built the wealth, you know, he did it from putting together a nuclear waste site, and that nuclear waste site, he put it in a empty area of West Texas, not an empty, I mean, people were living there, but like a smaller unknown area of West Texas. And they put it to a vote. It was like straight up an Aaron Brockovich situation. And the vote came down to four people. He won by four votes. And that's what started the building of their wealth. And that money went on to reinforce putting right-wing politicians in power in Texas. They have donated billions as the Simmons family. So like, it does trickle down, you know, voting does matter. And all of what we see on TV, these personalities, it does affect your real life, whether you see it or not, you know? So anyways.
Yeah, I think I mean, get off on those tangents. No, but like my whole conflict with like Housewives or Bravo shows in politics is that like, yeah, I understand. I don't want it to be like homogeneous and then that like everyone has to, like all of the cast members have to agree what I right. agree with.
Right.
But I also don't want, like, you know, like I don't want Teresa like encouraging people to vote for Trump because
right.
she's not educated on the fact. She just doesn't want, you know, she just didn't want her ex-husband deported. So
right.
like, it's not, it's their lack of being informed on the issues and how it affects people.
Well, and that's a great example, because when they interviewed her as he was still, or just recently, no, he was still in the deportation place, or he was recently out, or he was about to go to the deportation camp. They asked her, you know, when she did that special with Andy, that if she still would support Donald Trump, knowing that her story would end up being affected by it. And she said yes, because, you know, she thought that what he was doing was right. She said, I just don't think he realizes that some of us are affected too. So what she meant was, it's okay for him to say that about Mexicans, but he doesn't know right. we're Italians. If he knew that exactly. we Italians were also being affected, he wouldn't do that. So like, it's still fucked up.
Right. Yeah. And I think she also probably felt like, well, I know him, so I want him to get elected so I can ask him for a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, and then, I mean, that's a whole nother thing of how Teresa gets so offended when people think she's dumb. And I'm like, but you are dumb, sweetie. Right? Sorry. Like that whole sexual harassment thing, and Jackie, like, I would never let them do that to me. And I'm like,
oh my God.
When was the last time you had a real job in an office?
That's what I boss? Said. When did she work? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, I had the misfortune of reading her book. Full disclosure, I got the audio version and I put it on like double speed because it was like hooked on phonics for her.
And so did she ever have a job outside of the home?
Yeah, I think she has an associate's degree.
What?
In merchandising or something.
What?
And I believe that she worked as a buyer for Macy's.
Shut up. That's like a real job.
But she also married Joe very young because
that's like
she
what Rachel did on Friends, a buyer.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But I think she only worked for like 2 years before she married Joe.
Oh, wow. Okay. So she did. Cause, and shout out to stay-at-home moms. That is a real job. I've been having to take care of my niece this whole pandemic. Lord help me. It's a real job. But, I didn't know she had a boss. Like she was ever a subordinate, right. you know? So yeah, I didn't know.
Absolutely. I obviously being a stay-at-home mom is obviously hell a job.
Yeah. And
I thoroughly agree with that, but the only person you're getting sexually harassed by there is your husband, sweetie.
Yeah, that's the difference. Like when she's like, I would never let that happen. I'm like, girl, no one lets that happen. What are you talking about? How ignorant is that? And you have four daughters, how she says it, right?
Yeah.
Daughters.
Daughters.
She has four daughters. Like, how could you ever say that?
And it's like, you just wait until that happens to Gia, because Gia right? is getting a real education and she wants to be a lawyer too. So you just wait, because it's not, you know, things haven't changed that much. It's
yeah.
still pretty sexist out there. So
yeah, for sure.
I hope for your sake that never happens to Gia, and that if it does happen to Gia, Gia knows how to handle and react to it.
Right.
Because according to her mother, you're not really teaching her how to do that. So
I wonder if Gia like yells at her when she gets home, like, mom, what are you thinking? Why are you saying that? Don't, you know, I feel like she's so smart. And I hope she yelled at her for that.
I constantly hope that with any housewife misstep, their like smart daughter is there to tell them like, hey, you're wrong.
That's not, yeah. Mom, you can't say stuff like that. That's not even correct. Cause I feel like Gia does really put her in her place a lot of the times. She doesn't like treat her with that soft mommy lens. Like, she's very much like, no, mom, that's wrong. you don't say that. I was going to ask you something about, earlier you were saying that you still have hope for Sutton, right? Going back to Beverly Hills. So is there hope? What do we need for her to move forward in a fandom? Like, forgive this, whatever this was.
I mean, I think she's definitely in like the right direction. I think if anything, she is definitely trying. Like, she apologized, and even she hasn't like completely dismissed Crystal, because later in the episode they did share, you know, about their fathers, that's right, and mm-hmm, their passing and things. Mm-hmm. And I hope that also Garcelle can kind of like help her gain some perspective. Again, I don't think that the people of color in the cast should be there to educate,
right,
the white cast members, but I think Garcelle would be like willing to do that. I think Garcelle is friends with her, and she just like wants her to understand. And I think there is hope for Sutton, definitely. I hope she stops crying though.
And I was pissed that she, and I'm so glad that we're having this conversation today, because I think I was just really pissed like during the week. I couldn't even like listen. But I was really upset that, why does Crystal have to apologize? So their first sit down, Sutton's like, it was really mean what you said, that girl. And I'm like, well, you are being that girl that swears she doesn't see color. And then so she keeps on like, that's really mean. And you're the one that interrupted her experience, but she's the first one to apologize. That pissed me off. And then at the end, again, she's fucking crying about something. And it reminded me of Brandy, when Brandy was just like hypersensitive in the whole fucking season. Tiffany couldn't even breathe without Brandy being like, I feel uncomfortable around you because you're breathing, and I feel like you're breathing because I'm racist, and now I feel bad. Like, if Sutton's going to keep being hypersensitive and looking into everything, I can't do this again with another Brandy and Tiffany thing. What do you think about that?
She needs to stop crying. And I think that, yeah, I'm definitely sick of the, you know, the cast member of color having to apologize first in order to like, bullshit, even gain the attention of the white cast member, to be quite honest.
Like, I'm still confused. Why do we have to calm you down, Sutton? We're talking about racism against people who are not white, and you, the white woman, start with your white woman tears to shift the narrative, and now we're all concerned about you. But why? What happened to you? No, like, nada que ver con esta situación. Like, I don't understand. I still don't get it. Yeah. Why am I apologizing to you?
No, absolutely. Like, that's insane to me. I think that Sutton needs to really open her ears, and I hope she does that in the rest of the season. But that was really like why is everything like, oh, because you don't like it, it's mean? Like, ugh, everything to her like is mean. Even later in the episode, she was like left out of the prank. She's like, that's mean. And it's like,
I know. And like, take at a the joke? Table she's saying she's so cultured, and because Dorit is explaining she might be not as cultured as Erica Jane, and she's like, I'm cultured just because I'm from the Georgia, the South, right? So in the same breath she's saying she's so cultured, and then like in the very next sentence she's like, I've never had a friend pull a prank like that on me and kick me for a I'm like, girl, which is it? Either you don't know what a prank is, or you're very cultured. Both cannot exist. Like, you can't be a woman of the world and then be shocked that Crystal is, you know, giving you a nudge to be quiet about a prank. Because, and then that's how the episode ends. You know, she's like, I've never had that. And they're like, you've never had a prank go that way? No, I've never. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't with you.
Yeah, there's just, I don't know. Sutton's a little, she's a little weird to me. I even from like when she was a friend of last season,
yeah,
there was just so many, like, I'm like, did you grow up in a boarding school in Switzerland? Because if she feels like a sheltered thing to her, like, no jokes. But then she knew, like, she talked to Garcelle and she knew what like a kitchen was. So I'm like, confused. Oh,
what did you think about that? A lot of pushback on that. That was a lot of people did not like that. What, but a lot of people thought it was endearing. You know, I saw a lot of comments on both. What did you think?
I mean, listen, I think that if it was towards Garcelle and it wasn't a conversation towards Garcelle, so if Garcelle wasn't offended by it, I think that that's for Garcelle to have her feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
I almost
like, as really- a viewer, what do you think about that when like, because I have some really good white friends and they do some bullshit like that sometimes and I'm like, stop it. but like, I don't know, it just to me it's like, yeah, saying it, we're the same cringe. And I'm always like, right. No, we're not the same,
stop right it. it was cringe to me, but I also, I just felt like, oh, you know, bless her heart. Like, right. I just felt like,
yeah, bless her heart, perfect
woman was trying to find like that could be like the one black culture thing that she knows,
right,
and she was just trying to find common ground.
Yeah,
I don't think it was that harmful. I don't think it was like, again, with the intent, I don't think it was coming from a bad place.
Right. No, I agree.
Just misguided.
I completely agree. I went into this season as a big Sutton fan. I agree with you. I don't think there's like malintent. Like, someone asked me the other day, where do I put her on the scale? And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I mean, Brandy's horrible. I don't put her anywhere near that. Right. I'm just talking about her reaction of the hypersensitivity. Like, what it reminded me was the moment when they're in the boat and Tiffany's having a good time and all she's talking about is nausea medicine. And then Brandy takes it totally left and is like, are you saying that I'm selling drugs? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? All she said was that nausea medication was different. She never said you were dealing drugs. Like, how you even make that assumption? That's how far-fetched I felt Sutton was being.
Yes, absolutely. Like, okay, nuts. You're being way too sensitive. And never mind the fact that I don't understand how Leanne got fired and Brandy gets a second chance. Please do not bring her back next season.
I know.
Actually, I hope they're done. Cancel all of Dallas, to be honest.
I took a poll. We all are unanimous, and I think they should be canceled. I think they need to be done for a good year so that we can all scrub it clean and then bring it back with a multicultural cast.
Yeah.
Maybe two white women at the most. Maybe. Yeah, right. OC too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have it look like real Dallas. Real Dallas doesn't look like that. And I think that's why it's always been kind of a miss, because yeah, that exists in Dallas, like in any city, right? The 1% wealthy. And they do live in Highland Park and all of that is authentic. But the majority of the city, I mean, they're the 1%ers. Who wants to see that? It's tone deaf in 2021.
Yeah, well, Andy's argument, because I have Sirius, so I listen to his show on Sirius too. Mm-hmm. Andy's argument for that is that it's an aspiration. Like, all of these shows are aspirational and we want to, like, that's what we want to see, like the rich people.
But we don't.
But I was like, okay, but we can have like upper middle class is still aspirational. Like,
and there are wealthy Black women and Latinas in Dallas. I have a pinned tweet on Twitter. When I worked for the Latino organization, we were headquartered out of Dallas. She is a Latina billionaire, BBB, billion. And she is self-made. She's from Ecuador. She built her own empire. She's married, has like 5 kids. She does like triathlon. She's an athlete. She's actually friends with Kari, because when I started following her, I saw that Carrie Britt was following her and I'm like, oh shit, they actually know each other. But she is a self-made billionaire. She's been in dozens of Forbes articles and she's one of like at least 5 that I know off the top of my head because I worked in that field. We have wealthy Latinas. We have wealthy Black women. But again, it goes to production. Oh, and we have wealthy Asians. I love how everyone acts like Tiffany is like the only one. She went to a whole grocery store because right. there's an Asian community. There's a
yeah.
there's a huge Muslim community also in Dallas. Dallas is home. I always like to give a shout out. Fun fact, Dallas is home to the largest mosque in the country and the largest Muslim population, because I live there and I lived at one point down the street from the mosque, and it is a beautiful I don't even know building's the right word because it's a religious space. I don't know if there's a proper word for that, but it's a beautiful place. And we're so diverse in Dallas that it's hard to watch that 1%, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah.
I find it really, really hard to believe that they couldn't find like rich Latinas in Texas.
Right?
I was like, seriously? I was like, this is what you found? And I mean, touching on the Muslim thing, how is Jen Shah the first Muslim housewife in a city full of Mormons?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It comes back down to production. I haven't done it for Salt Lake, but I researched the production company. I was watching the same reality E show you were with Andy and the production company. So then I was like, oh, well, let me look at that. And like, yeah, Dallas is like a white production company. And I'm like, oh, well, this makes perfect sense then. Mm-hmm. Like, why? Mm-hmm. And then someone sent me a DM that said they think Stephanie's husband maybe also has some kind of vested interest in that production company. But then someone else said that, no, that's a rumor and that's not true. So, but you never know. I mean, wealthy people run in small circles. Who knows, right?
Right. Right.
But yeah, like, I think it comes down to production.
Yeah, and like shell companies are a huge thing. I think Stephanie denied that. She said in a tweet, like, if that was true, I would get a much better edit. And I was like, okay, your edit isn't horrible though, girl. So
yeah, I'm like, I mean, they don't have a lot to work with. You're not the greatest.
Right.
I think they do what they can. But let's see, wrapping up Beverly Hills. Anything else you want to say, take away? For audiences listening, I don't know. The floor is yours, madame.
I don't know. I just, with Beverly Hills, I have a little hope for Sutton, more hope than I have for Luann on Roni. So I'm hoping, although I don't know, from what I see on social media, it looks like there might be like some sort of the rest of the cast versus Garcelle. She's been like excluded from a couple of things, but I know that like Garcelle also has like a real Hollywood job that she's
right.
she can't go to all the filmings. So it's really like a wait and see situation.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, you know, this whole race conversation isn't gonna dominate the entire season because of Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree. I mean, I get people who are turned off by like it, like now everything's going to be about race when you like add a diverse cast member, because that's not it, you know, like as a diverse cast member, you bring more than just who you like, what your culture is with you. Like you can't be, you know, representing your entire culture on your back and carrying it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do hope that it doesn't just like focus on that. And but I definitely think that, you know, accountability is a huge thing, and not just for these cast members making these missteps, but for like Bravo and Bravo maybe, you know, backing them up or not backing up them up or whatever. But like, I don't even know if Bravo stepped in with that whole Tiffany against the Westcott situation. Like that should have been a huge thing. Like,
yeah.
So I, what I'm hoping for in the future is definitely some accountability. And like I said, the housewives don't have to agree with us.
Right.
It would be boring if they were all, you know, like left-leaning Democrats or whatever. But it's about a conversation and about listening and about understanding the other side, because after all, this is like a sociological experiment, you know, watching these like wealthy women. And then to take maybe politics and race out of it isn't realistic, because that's not real life.
Yeah. And like I'm hardcore left-leaning Democrat. That's my whole job, but I still tuned into every episode of Jersey. I know that they're all conservative. You know, I wanted, I still love Dolores. I know she's a Trump supporter. Yeah. But she's not putting it out there and not pushing it. She allows me to enjoy me pretending to not know.
Absolutely.
You know, same thing with Teresa, agreed, at least on the show. But when she starts getting crazy in real life, then it's a problem. Now we got to talk about it. But
right,
yeah, I think that's a misconception. Like, we don't all, like what you were saying earlier, we're not all trying to make it about race and politics. It's when they fucking do it. Crystal was just trying to have a fucking conversation about her life, as all the women do. And then it became something else because you had a problem with it, Sutton. And Kyle was listening, you know, and I think Kyle should have actually done more to dismantle that, but whatever, you know, that's just an opinion. But the same thing with Ebony, she was just trying to have a conversation like all the women do. And she's the only one that wasn't yelling like all the women do. And yet Luann made it about race. And the moment that she started diminishing her and treating her unequally and not giving her the same space that she's given 13 years to Bethany and Ramona and everybody else. And the moment she made it unequal because it was about race, now it's about race. That's not our fault.
Absolutely. Fault. Again, like Luann never said angry Black woman. And I know in the preview for next week, Ebony says that that's what was said. But like, I think what needs to be understood is repercussions and effect. Absolutely. And what were, like, you know, using your words, it's the same thing. I don't know if they brought this up or not. It's the same thing of when people say, oh no, actually, I think Wendy Williams said it. Like, when someone tells a Black person, oh, you're so eloquent.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. You're so well-spoken.
Mm-hmm. You're so well-spoken. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's what needs to be brought to Luann's attention. And I hope it is, because I think that's what she needs to understand, the effect that what your words can have.
Did you see that on that E! True Reality where Vivica Fox tells that story about Ivanka Trump telling her that on The Apprentice?
Yeah.
I could.
Yeah, it's called Microaggressions, Luann.
I was so pissed. Yeah, absolutely. You're 1,000% correct. Like, I feel that even like how we were talking about accents earlier, like I don't hear it, but I know I must have one because people mention it. And then it caused me like years of me trying. And this is me having tried to erase it. And I understand, like, I don't hear it, but I'm aware that people hear it. And me trying to like over enunciate. And then that's what I was saying about, I get so nervous, like even when I have a typo, because I feel like people are going to say, oh, she's stupid, because, you know, they're always trying to watch us be like, oh, you're so eloquent, or oh, you're so well-spoken, or oh, she's so smart. You know, like we always have to like be the most just to be treated the same. It's fucked up.
Yep.
It's exhausting. But anyways, I'm so grateful we had this conversation, and I'm always so grateful to everyone that comes on the show, because, you know, this is your free time and it's a beautiful weekend. And what's the weather like over there?
Hot and more hot.
Same here. I'm at least grateful we're not at the 100 yet. We're in the 90s right now. So we're middle hot. But yeah, it's always so wonderful to like have someone to give different perspectives as Latinas. You know, we know we're not a monolith, and that's why these conversations are so important. We're also doing our job within the Latino community to dismantle anti-Black sentiment, anti-Asian sentiment. You know, we got a lot of work to do also. And of course, for any of our white allies listening, we always try to just show all the ways where we can all be better. You know, Latinos and allies and anyone in between that's listening, we're so grateful. So to our abogada from Miami, le damos de todas las gracias. We're so grateful for your time. And thank you for sharing with us today.
This was amazing. I loved it. Like I said, I could talk about this all day. And I actually don't get the opportunity to, because none of my best friends watch Bravo.
Oh, girl, then come on over. We're here. You hit us up. We can talk about this all day long.
Yes. Bravo fan accounts are my lifeline. That's why I follow so many of them.
Yeah, well, we're going to have you back. So we'll have to make some time in your schedule. put us on this, on the calendar.
Amazing. Absolutely. Love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, abogada. And for anyone listening, tune in next time. Latinas Watching Bravo. She'll be back. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Thank you.